Back, Tippy Point, Boone Cutler. We're kicking off this hour, I think. Yep, we're at the top of the hour. And we're going to talk right now to Eric, my brother. What's shaking, man?
Hey, Boone. How's it going, man?
Man, it's been better, but I've been a lot worse, so I'm doing pretty good. What's up with you, man? Where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Missouri, just at home. Got a couple friends up from Louisiana. We're going to do a big shrimp and crawfish boil. It's going to be a pretty great afternoon. So
nice.
Pleasure to be here with you again, man.
Yeah, it's good to have me on the show, and I'm digging the topic, man. I know you're definitely putting yourself out there. Let's talk a little bit about that before we get too deep into this. But, hey, first of all, is Doc Steele going to join us today?
I'm not sure. I haven't talked to him, but I think that he definitely said he was interested in doing it. So maybe I could chat him up on text here in a minute.
Okay.
Right.
Well, let's kind of just enjoy ourselves a minute here. First of all, we're going to be talking about medical marijuana, and to both of us, this is a little risky topic, man. It's a little risky topic when you're in the public eye, and especially you doing what you do. You want to explain why it's risky for you and why you're willing to take that risk?
Well, it's risky pretty much anything you do outside the scope of, prescription medication. I don't personally have so much advocacy where I could just ignore the potential that we have here when there's so many people in need of a product like cannabis, medical marijuana, to control the symptoms of things like PTSD and TBI, anxiety, things like that. And when you are out in public and you are doing certain jobs, you can't rely on the fact that everyone's going to be understanding. So coming from my background as a former criminal investigator with the Naval Criminal Investigative Service, and as a former Marine Corps captain, I've got endless testimonials of trusted friends that have responded very well to legal cannabis for medical problems and symptoms that have been completely, they've defeated all of the different ailments that come with having a determined, pain management regimen, in opioids or benzos and things like that. And it's anything's a more positive alternative than veterans turning to a bottle of scotch and a handgun. So it begs the question, we need to be proactive in having the veteran's voice as a proactive sort of, backing.
We got to speak for ourselves. We got to stand up and say, hey, you know what? I have taken everything the medical science has to offer. I mean everything. I've been to psychs. I've been to neurologist. I've had everything the medical science had to offer. It didn't work. You know what worked? Marijuana worked. And if I say it works, how can anybody say it doesn't?
For you? Yeah, for anybody. And again, everyone's different. Everyone's got a different, the pharmacology is not going to be a universally acceptable thing for everybody. And there's no silver bullet, but you have to be willing to introduce yourself to the data, which is indisputable, and the clinical trials behind it all over the world. It's just very difficult here to we're working in under these sort of Nixon knows best laws on, and it really has to come on the change. It has to happen from within the federal government on the federal side. It's not enough for states to go, okay, we're going to decriminalize it. It has to be a federal thing for them.
They've got to change the scheduling for it. So right now it's scheduled to where it has no medical value. Are you kidding me? Do you know what they do in Canada? If a war fighter has PTSD in Canada and says, I want to use medical marijuana, you know what they do? They subsidize them $300 for a butter machine, and then they give them as – I talked to these guys. I talked to these operators in Canada. I said, how much marijuana do they give you? He goes, bro, more than I could smoke. More than I could smoke in a month. And I say, well, what's this $300 subsidized thing? He goes, well, they give you $300 to subsidize a butter machine so you can actually take your cannabis, turn it into butter to make edibles. That way you're not damaging your lungs. Well, the Canadian government does this. Okay. I've asked these guys because I'm curious. I'm so curious. Is marijuana different in Canada than it is in the United States? Maybe it's different. I don't know. I'm not very smart. I go to college. And he says, nope, it's the same stuff. Imagine that. Same stuff. But their government says Israel, they give it to guys on they've been doing medical marijuana as a prophylaxis for PTSD for a long time. I think these guys know a lot about war.
This isn't anything new.
No, it's not.
People have been using cannabis for a lot longer than we probably think as well. There's cannabinoid receptors in the human brain. There's a reason for that. I'd rather be putting either edibles or good strains of the CBD. an extra, you know, extra CB for more of the body therapeutics with it than any, you know, any pharmacy-made medication whatsoever.
Yeah, bro, and when I tell people I was on pain meds, opiates, morphine, you know, I was taking 2 30-milligram morphine a day plus 6 10-milligram Oxycontin through the day. That was my prescription. And that wasn't the total for I mean, it's gone up and down. But at the end of the day, for about roughly 15 to 18 years, the last 22, because of injuries I've sustained on active duty, and it had, it started out in like 1994, you know, the VA sent me my first bottle of Vicodin, and I was like, oh, wow, that was awesome. That helps a lot. Thank you so much. I was blessed. I had no problem with it. And I'm not blaming anybody else. I was the guy begging for it. But I always said if there was something I could do that was better, I would do it because I don't like to be addicted to stuff. Who wants to be chemically dependent on stuff? Well, guess what? Now and a lot of folks don't know. We're not talking about your grandpa's weed, okay? We're not out there blowing big bowls necessarily. We're talking about taking a capsule, taking a freaking capsule, okay, with CBDs in it, reduces inflammation in the body, and then you don't have the pain. It's non-addictive. It's crazy. We're not talking about your grandpa's weed. He's hanging out, you know, hanging out smoking pot. We're talking about taking a capsule the same way you take a freaking Excedrin, and right. You don't have to be addicted to it, and it relieves your pain, and you get good sleep. Depending on – people do not understand the medical science with marijuana has gotten so good right now, and it's only getting better, that you don't have to – let's get rid of the word high, okay? Because that's what your grandpa did when he's hanging out at freaking Woodstock. What we're talking about is medically changing your situation to go from bad to good. Sure. What's wrong with that?
Sure. There isn't anything wrong with that. It's nonsense. The good thing is it doesn't really matter what happened in the past. You know, the 1937 Marijuana Tax Act, which pretty much criminalized it in the United States of America. Let's ignore the fact that indigenous cultures have been using marijuana along with other indigenous cultures throughout the world for thousands of years. Let's not forget the fact that, you know, the founding fathers, including George Washington, were connoisseurs of hemp, as they called marijuana back then. We have to legitimize it through the clinical, unemotional science backed by lots of physicians and other anyone, really. Anyone could be an advocate for it.
I have an advocate right here. I want you to kind of have this conversation. I want to put him on with you right now. We're talking Joey Gilbert. He's a defense attorney. He defends veterans, warfighters that have gotten in trouble, that have post-traumatic stress, that are on the zombie dope, and he can contrast with them. He can contrast what happens when they're on the zombie dope and then what happens when they start using medical marijuana, because Nevada is a medical marijuana state. Joey, talk to Eric here. You've got a lot of experience in this stuff. You're involved in the industry. You're also a criminal defense attorney. What have you seen in the criminal side? I mean, forget about guys that are overdosing on opiates, which is huge, epidemic proportion in America. Forget the fact that the vast majority of veterans in America are demanding the VA start using cannabis or making it available. Forget about all that stuff. Let's talk about just going to jail.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as we've talked about so many times, and Eric, how are you? It's nice to speak with someone who has a very good depth of understanding in this industry. I mean, we just talked very briefly, you know, 1937, you go into the reefer madness, and that's what, you know, has created the fear that's out there today. The studies are just simply not there. And what I mean that is the information, the literature does not show any type of problems from medical marijuana that you could even correlate with the problems from these prescription drugs.
You know how many people die each year from energy drinks?
Absolutely.
Energy drinks.
Well, here's an interesting fact. In 2012, the Center for Disease Control reported that methadone accounted for 40% of opioid-related deaths. And what's interesting about that is the rates now for overdose deaths involving methadone is 5.5 times higher than it was 10 years ago. So, I mean, you're looking at stuff here, and it's impossible to overdose from marijuana because unlike opiate receptors, there are no cannabinoid receptors in your brainstem, okay, which is the area that controls the respiration. And what's important for that is that, you know, what people don't realize is that when you're using methadone and benzodiazepines for anxiety, you can stop your breathing.
Oh, I think, man, it's just wrong, man. It's just wrong. Okay, so, you know, one stops your breathing and is addictive. One cannot stop your breathing by itself. and it's non-addictive, and it works. Again, if I say it works, how can you say it doesn't? Tipping Point, Boone Cutler, stand by. We'll be right back. Where is it?
It's coming.
And there it is. Welcome back. Tipping Point Boone Cutler. We're having a conversation right now with Eric. We're talking about medical marijuana. We're also talking to Joey, the criminal defense attorney, talking about his side of the house, talking about the stuff that's going on there. I want to finish up that conversation right about now. Joey, get back to what you were talking about before you left. And we've only got about 5 or 10 minutes, but I want to boil it back down to what do you see happening with guys criminally that are on all these other medications?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, the problems we're having with what I would call self-medication. I mean, you've got guys coming back that aren't getting their concerns addressed, and so they're trying different things. Like you know, the one thing about the warfighter communities, they're not giving up. So they're self-medicating from alcohol to prescription drugs to just about anything they can find to try and help them deal or deal with the problems they're having mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. And at the end of the day, they're not productive then. This zombie dope is absolutely the worst thing I've ever seen. I mean, I've represented numerous guys. I come in the door, there's white in the corner of their mouths, their eyes are glazed over, they're not functioning, they're having problems with their family, problems with their work, problems with their significant others, and they're just not able to perform and have that quality, productive lifestyle. When I've seen medical marijuana introduced into the picture, it immediately softens the entire thing. I mean, the pain goes away, the anxiety goes away, and then they're able to start, you know, at the end of the day, a happy warfighter is a productive warfighter, or vice versa. And I think once you add that productivity back into the picture, now you have an individual or individuals that are back, you know, involved in their community and doing things they want to do that they didn't even know they could do because that dope and the other drugs they were on were preventing them from doing that.
And they're not in jail, because here's what I remember from the zombie dope. It doesn't stop you from having problems. What it does, PTSD will always break through. It will always break through. So they throw you on your Xanax bars and they throw you on all this other stuff. At some point in time, the stuff's going to break through. And when it does, it's going to break through with a vengeance. And then they just want to medicate you more. Well, if you learn to cope and get off the dope, then you don't have those breakthroughs. You don't have those issues. Eric, what are you thinking, man? You down with what I'm saying?
Of course. And we have to reduce the barriers. There shouldn't be any challenges when you have a guy or a girl, patient, who leaves the military, due to injuries in combat or any sort of training accidents, anything where you're physically hurt, and the contract between you and the government is they'll take care of you physically. That's what they're obligated to do based on the contractual details of your enlistment, a contract, or if you're commissioning into the military. So there shouldn't be any barriers. So the fact that I've got friends in there, and I obviously won't name names, but I've got very prominent friends, right, that are well-known within our community who have taken to the shelter of illegal narcotics because they either don't want to be on VA drugs or they need more because of the, you know, the tolerance builds up and they're getting withdrawals, and it's an endless cycle. And I've had a few change their life completely, move to a state where medical marijuana is legal, or a state like Washington or Colorado where recreational marijuana is now legal. And it's not a silver bullet, but man, it's a pretty big caliber for you know, to fight that monster inside you, to fight it, and just you're never, like you said, Boone, it's always going to break through. It's always going to be there. My great uncle Bill Hudson, Iwo Jima machine gunner, he was talking about Iwo Jima until the day he died. So it's always going to be in you. But let's try to reduce the shadow of the villain, you know. And it's something like a plant. We're talking about a plant. No one's asking for a bunch of, you know, government representatives to give every wounded veteran a couple $1 million and a nice house in the hills. We're looking for a solution in a plant.
I mean, it's not hemlock, you know. I mean, exactly, I would have a problem if I was saying, hey, I think we should take hemlock. Okay, no, it's hemp. It's marijuana. A lot of people have been doing it for a long time. And they don't want to say they have, but a lot of people have been doing it. A lot of people have been doing it for a long time. And now the medical science is just so much better. Joey, what do you got?
I just wanted to say, you know, marijuana has been around since 4000 B.C. I mean, that's the truth. It was one of the mainstays of medical, you know, therapy in the United States until obviously 1937. But most importantly, what I wanted to bring up is that right now they're saying 1 in 10 veterans are in, there's 1 in 10 people in prison is a vet.
Right.
All right. That is not a good number that we want to deal with. But most importantly is that with, you know, this is some of us know, with 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's incarcerated population, with over 700,000 people a year being arrested in prison for marijuana, those related offenses, you're dealing with about
nearly three quarters of a million people.
Exactly.
And that's not even county jail.
And then again, 1 in 10 are vets. So we have a huge problem here, especially for something that should not be, as you've said before, Big Pharma is a mandate. We want to give these guys the option. If it works for them, who are you to say it doesn't? We're taking marijuana out of the back alleys and we're bringing it mainstream. And that's what's happening.
With the science behind it.
That's what needs to happen.
With the science behind it.
Right.
Eric, do you want to talk about this event going down in April? And what your purpose is for being there?
We've been asked, several veterans, we've been asked, you included, to come out to the 420 event in Denver, Colorado, and discuss in a panel interview regarding, you know, the benefits. I'm an advocate for medical marijuana for veterans, absolutely, without a doubt. Because it's just, I've seen it. There's one thing to hear anecdotal testimonies from, you know, your uncle, you know, telling you about the evils of weed, but like you reiterated earlier, this isn't just like the back alley, some, you know, guy named Steve open up his trench coat and getting all that dope. This is stuff that's now being grown in laboratories, and there's botany and chemistry involved, and it's not necessarily, I would never advocate for anyone to just be like, oh, okay, go be a stoner now.
Yeah, go.
That's not what we're saying.
Go do the research if you want. Go ahead.
Go. It's all out there. It's abundantly available. It's free, okay, and there's multiple sources corroborating independently from another. The data across the world with different strains is identically matched. And when clinical trials are occurring at universities in the United States of America, and then also in research laboratories and hospitals and settings, and clinical settings in Europe, like Denmark, the Netherlands.
The IDF, for one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the results are saying. And to think that, listen, when I was in federal law enforcement, I've never had to detain a aggressive subject that was high in marijuana. I've never had to produce my service pistol and go, freeze, drop the pot. You know, I never had that
opportunity. Freeze, drop the pot.
Yeah. Or no one's ever going to freak out if someone in a crowded movie theater yells, he's on the pot. You know, no one's, they're going to be like, well, I give him a lot of credit for getting over here to enjoy this new Star Wars movie. So, and the fact that there's, oh, gosh, forget about the veteran part. There's people serving life sentences. I got a buddy from Louisiana up here. He was just telling me today that if you get busted with, you know, three joints, you can potentially go to jail for life of a plant.
That's
a plant.
Correct. And you know what? I'm not down for people doing a lot of illicit stuff. That's not my thing. I'm just talking about medicine. I'm just talking about stuff that just works. And you know what? We talk a lot of trash in this community. But one thing we do rally behind, and that's helping each other. And there's a lot of awareness right now. Like, oh, we got to bring awareness. We got to bring awareness to suicide. We got to bring, okay, fine. I think everybody's aware. Everybody in America knows that the suicide rate is insane. But what can we do about it? You know what we can do about it? We can do this. And people are saying, wait, what are you saying, Boone? Everybody should smoke pot so they can live? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm that freaking bold about it. And I don't give a damn if you disagree with me, because that's the truth. And I don't care if you think it sounds crazy, because I'm talking about a capsule, a freaking capsule. I'm not talking about smoking a bong. I'm talking about a capsule like it's a freaking Excedrin. Joey, what do you got?
Real quick, I just want to point out, you know, it's funny that the U.S. government tells you that marijuana is a Schedule One controlled substance, but how is it, and that there's no medicinal benefits, but how is it that same government owns a patent for the formula that it uses for the medicinal benefits of cannabinoids to protect, it's a neuroprotectant, it's a neuroprotectant. So it's just funny that our government is saying that it doesn't have these benefits, yet it's got a patent for
if
those
Dale
exact things.
If Dale Smith right now, if he wasn't being drug tested and losing his job, if he right now could use marijuana as a neuroprophylaxis to traumatic brain injury, which is what the science says, he would recover faster and he would recover better right now, but he can't do it. That's what I got. Eric, I got to kick you loose, man. We got another guest coming on. Great job today.
Thanks, gentlemen. Take care. Out here.
All the way, brother. Out here. It's different.